I am joined by business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien. Now, Jeff, normally we do three and out as a little separate, but this information is so explosive and so big that it has to go into the BS show.
You're right.
And it's, you know, here's what I have a question about. The timing of Colin Kaepernick filing his grievance claiming collusion, why would it come out on a Sunday, and why would he not wait till Monday to see if maybe, oh, the best quarterback in the league got hurt and that maybe a team would be interested? Because I think no team will touch him now,
right,
after filing this this suit. Does the timing make any sense to you?
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know if he's doing this at this point because he just wants the attention or what, but because it seems like he has the worst timing of terms of, you know, opening his mouth when he's just, you know, when the possibility is that he might end up getting a job again in the NFL. You remember this, Bob, that back before the season started, where he was talking with Baltimore about and Ray Lewis was advocating with Steve Biscotti, the owner, to sign him. And then I think it was his girlfriend or his sister put out a tweet likening Ray Lewis to and Biscotti to like the slave master and the slave. And Lewis came out afterwards and said, you know, it was poor timing, and I lost my initiative to advocate for him when they're doing stuff like this.
I don't believe it was the sister. His girlfriend is very outspoken.
Yeah, okay. I thought, I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember for sure, but
I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure it's the girlfriend.
You're probably right.
Who seems to hold, and he's an adult, but she seems to hold great sway over his decision making.
She certainly does. But anyway, so Kaepernick filed, and it was announced yesterday, he's filed a grievance against the NFL alleging collusion against the NFL owners. And what he's basically saying is they've all conspired to not sign me because of my outspokenness on social issues. Now, this is a hard case to prove. In order to prove collusion, he'd have to prove that he has to have some sort of evidence showing that some more than one team talked to each other and had some sort of understanding or agreement not to sign him. If all 32 teams independently make the decision that his skill level doesn't exceed the controversy that they would face by signing him, just because if all 32 teams independently make that decision not to sign him, that's not collusion.
But even if, okay, let's say I decided I want to go full-time into writing, but on my Facebook and my Twitter and any social media, I become incredibly political, whether it's to the right or to the left. Mm-hmm. That's going to be out there for every potential employer, because that's what employers do now. They look at social media.
Right.
But if one newspaper talked to another and said, did you see that stuff he wrote? We can't touch him. That's collusion. I mean, but they could see it independently, but they can't. If they talk about it, they are guilty of collusion.
No, if
they're saying, let's not hire this guy.
Right. There has to be. If you remember, Bob, back to the late 80s or mid to late 80s, there was the big the free agent case.
Don't sign these guys and keep the money down.
Exactly. And Reggie White was the lead plaintiff. It was here and the players won. That was collusion. He had evidence that that the owners conspired amongst themselves not to sign guys for too much money so they could keep the salaries down. There was a concerted effort there, and there was evidence of it. Here, unless there's something that comes out, now there's been some. There have been some allegations or some statements made. I think there was some comments out of Miami that maybe that they were gonna sign him to replace Tannehill, and another team stepped in and said don't do it or something like that. I don't know, but we'll see. It's his burden to prove. He's gonna have to prove that there was more here than just each team deciding that he was not worth signing, that they didn't want the controversy.
Well, do you think that he would file something like this without knowledge of teams colluding?
I don't know. He hasn't made the best, like you said, with the Baltimore decision. He hasn't made the best choices in terms of getting a new job. I mean, keep in mind too, Bob, he wasn't cut from the 49ers. He opted out of his contract.
Yeah, he had an offer.
He thought he could do better, and so he opted.
Swing and a miss on that one.
Exactly. You know, and the, so I don't. If he was, if his talent was of a level that was,
if he had Aaron Rodgers' talent.
Yeah, if he had Aaron Rodgers' talent and wanted to be outspoken, teams would sign him like nothing. But the bottom line, and we saw this in Minnesota with Randy Moss when Randy Moss 1.0 had his issues, but his talent was exceptional. He came back here and he was, complaining about the caterers and everything else, and had this press conference ripping on the coach, and Childress cut him because, the talent level wasn't what it was the first time. So this is not new. And players just have to be aware that teams will put up with them so long as the talent is there.
Well, there's, I'm weary of the people in my profession, writers and, sportscasters too, that whenever a quarterback goes down, immediately, Colin Kaepernick, bring him in. You know what? Here's the problem, what they're losing sight of. Even if he could potentially help your team on the field, you are changing the dynamic and the chemistry of a team when you bring him in. Because right now, let's use the Packers. I don't believe a single player kneels anymore. Maybe Martellus Bennett did at one point. No Packers kneel.
Right.
He comes in, and they're going to start. And it's just teams don't want to deal with that. There already is a backlash by the public. In Green Bay, that's just not going to play. No. I don't care if he's from Wisconsin or not, and he's always wanted to be a Packer. It's not going to play. Yeah.
My in-laws live in Green Bay, so I've traveled there many a time. I can tell you he will go over like a lead balloon in that town. Green Bay fans want to steal the mantra of America's team from the Cowboys. You bring Kaepernick in with this sideshow of the anthem protest, and that's not going to play well with their fan base. So I don't think that he's even a consideration. I heard some people joking about Tony Romo, but I don't even think that's the case.
No,
the bottom line is,
Romo quit because he had injuries
yeah.
that prevented him from playing.
The bottom line is, at this point in the season, it's going to be hard to bring anybody in cold off the street. You're going to have to go with what you've got. Miami was an exception with Jay Cutler because Adam Gase, the head coach, knew him from Chicago. He knew Adam's system. He could come in and do it. Right, he was still in shape because he just been had quote unquote retired after last season. So that's an anomaly. I mean, you think of what Minnesota did with Josh Freeman. That was a disaster when they brought him in.
Absolutely.
And it's not like some of these other positions. This is the quarterback position, right? This is the field general for the offense. This isn't like a running back or a receiver that might be able to come in cold and pick up the game, the playbook and go. A quarterback's different. So I don't think that I don't think he's going to have an easy time proving collusion either. I think at this point the ship has sailed and he can see what he wants to do for next year, stay in shape or go, try playing in Canada or something else.
Canada might be his best bet because he's not
exactly.
And what would he do there? Not kneel for their anthem?
Right, but he you're right. He might have to do Canada just to show that what his talent level is and get people to take another look at him.
But his talent level, there has been a it's diminished since he went to the Super Bowl and
absolutely
and lost. I mean, a lot of players had that 1 or 2 years, and then for whatever reason, teams defenses figure him out. I mean, at one point, he looked like he could be the new wave, start the new wave of those type of quarterbacks.
But look at Tim Tebow. I mean, Tim Tebow got the Broncos in the playoffs the 1 year. He went through the same thing with his kneeling in the end zone praying, and had his own following, people saying he was blackballed because of that. But the bottom line is, for some of these guys, once a defense figures you out, that's it, And Kaepernick was one of those guys. I don't want to say flash in the pan, but he was kind of a flash in the pan. He had that good season, got the team to the Super Bowl. Defenses then figured out, how to stop him, and that was it.
Yeah, it'll surprise me if he plays football again, because he, on CBS, was it Jason LaConfora, said that he did not plan to kneel for the anthem, and then, this is amazing to me, though, and I don't know this Jason, but later that day, he goes on CBS and basically makes it sound like, as he interviewed Kaepernick, that Kaepernick told him. Then he comes out later and said, well, I never... How do you not ask Colin Kaepernick when you're interviewing him, what are you going to do when the anthem is played? And I don't know the guy, but I mean, that just... You make that your last question. What do you, if you're afraid you're going to piss him off,
right.
So what?
Right.
That is just... It's basic 101, reporting.
Yeah, if you make the last question and he gets up and walks out of the interview, then you have your answer.
Exactly. And then, you know, and Kaepernick then comes out later, I think the next day, and said, I never said I would stand.
He came out within hours and was tweeting that he didn't say that. And then they had to go back, CBS had to go back and recant LaConfora's report within hours of him saying it on the NFL Today. It was bizarre.
Well, again, you know what? And I don't know if this LaConfora has gotten in any trouble for it, but if I'm his boss, I'm questioning why he embarrassed us and why he didn't say, I never asked that question, but he has indicated in the past that.
Yeah.
And then my question would be, well, why the heck don't you ask that question?
Right.
To me, that's just outrageous that you're interviewing Colin Kaepernick, who started this whole thing. You're not asking what he's going to do if he plays.
Right.
But again, might be a great guy, might be, other than that, a great reporter. But it's and that's the other thing, by the way. And I'm not doing this in any way because of the way Hollywood has reacted or didn't react all those years to this Harvey Weinstein and what he did, this despicable things that he did. But a lot of people protect other reporters and sportscasters. You know, like a lot of people have protected and talked about Jemele Hill. Oh, poor Jemele. You know, Jemele Hill was basically told, you got to watch what you're putting on social media. She didn't care. So I would know that you got to be careful. You know, if your newspaper or your broadcast, if you work for ESPN, they tell you not to do it. If you do it, you got to figure there's repercussions. I don't know if she got bold or enabled or cocky, but she was wrong. I mean, if you want to work for a place, you know what? Maybe she feels she was right in doing it. Where she was wrong is she was wrong if she thought she can get away with it a second time.
Right.
So if somebody does something in the media and it's not right, I'm not going to protect them just because they're in the media like I am. And I don't feel I'm throwing them under the bus either.
Right.
It's not like it's some kind of a code.
Yeah, we see that a lot of times in different professions, you see it in the political world, you know, these guys rallying around each other all the time. Everybody wants to circle the wagons and maybe it's because they think, well, I could be next. I don't know. When it comes to some of this stuff with like Jemele Hill, she should have expected that, you know, the NFL is not going to allow, you know.
Well, her bosses aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately,
ESPN is an arm of all the major leagues.
She works for Disney, too, which, you know, they have a little bit of a brand to protect.
But, right. Exactly.
You know, and you talk about one thing I will say, nobody circles the wagons better than the Democrats. They could disagree in behind closed doors, but they're always unified. And it's something the Republicans can learn from.
Yeah,
could become unified, they actually would have gotten some things.
That's why the Republicans get called. That's why the Republicans get called the stupid party sometimes. So,
well, some of the things they do don't appear to be the brightest moves.
No,
but all right. You know what? Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we have two other items to talk to. Why don't you give them a little taste of what they're going to hear?
Well, we're on a related theme. We've got some trouble in New Orleans yesterday was supposed to be a tribute to a fallen police officer, and then the NFL beat Ezekiel Elliott down in Texas.
I'll tell you what, I wish I had Alfred Morris, or, you know, because for 6 weeks, it's not going to be Zeke out down there.
Nope.
All right, we'll take that quick break and be right back with the other two-thirds of Three and Out.
I've gotten to know Michael Bryant from the law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant. He's a good guy and a great attorney. And now here's what you should know. Michael and the other attorneys at Bradshaw & Bryant will help you if you've been involved in an accident. Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney. And that's the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need.
If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, get in touch with Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System. Let one of the representatives help you get back on the road seamlessly. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. And Smart Start will come to your home or business to install its Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System. Smart Start has been available for a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's Ignition Interlock Program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
They're back.
We are back with Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney extraordinaire. We did the first of the three and outs items. Now on to number two, New Orleans. This is staggeringly absurd.
Yeah, this is one of these deals that almost doubles as your D-bag of the day, Bob. I mean, so the New Orleans Saints were paying tribute to a fallen police officer, the guy by the name of Marcus McNeil, who was tragically killed in the line of duty this past Friday. And of course, you had to have a handful of Saints players that knelt during the tribute. If you look at the news story, the picture of it, these guys have their backs turned away from the field, their backs turned toward the
field.
They
turned on it too?
And kneeled down looking at the bench. And the fans booed them for it.
That's even worse than what they do with the anthem. At least they face the fielder or the flag during
Now, they all stood for the anthem, but they knelt during this tribute to a fallen police officer. And the fans booed him. So,
who were they? Do you know which
I didn't
play?
See
were
the
they
na- I didn't see the. I didn't
How many
see the,
of them were there?
I didn't see the names of.
Because I got to be honest with you. If I'm Sean Payton, it was the Saints, right?
Yeah.
I sent him to the locker room and said, "You're not playing today. Get the hell off my field."
Yeah.
That is horrible.
But remember, Payton's been pretty vocally anti-Trump. So, I mean, if he sees this as somehow feeding into the president's, fire the sons of bitches, he's not going to do it. So I'm not surprised that there were no repercussions for them. I don't know if the Benson family that owns them, that ownership group has been in complete disarray since.
Here's my two solutions for this thing. Tell the players, you know what, you want to kneel, then do it at the end of the game. You could have your own little circle, like the guys who do prayer after the game have their circle. Kneel with them or kneel next to them. Or you really want to make it a spectacle and make your point instead of during the anthem, so then it's clear it's not against the anthem or the flag. Walk out behind your captains for the coin flip. You'll actually get on TV and kneel while they're doing the coin flip.
Maybe. You know what? I say just keep them in the locker room until game time. Don't have them out there during the anthem. Don't have them out there during these tributes to anything, to the military, to the police, anything. If they can't, if they're going to, they have the rights of free expression. If they're going to be boneheaded about it,
and they are,
go back to the way it was before you took money from the government and wheeled them out there for the anthem. Put them back in the locker room while all that stuff is going on.
Well, they something needs to be done, and these owners are gonna—they're not gonna do anything.
Unless the ratings drop and sponsors,
the ratings are dropping.
Yeah, but when they had to refund ad, it was funny. Monday night the ratings were bad. They had to refund ad revenue. Tuesday, Goodell's talking about, Wednesday's talking about meeting with the owners to do something about the anthem, to put some teeth in this rule that you have to stand for it. Now we're back to nothing again. So it was all talk and nothing. So I don't know what they're going to, like I said, just keep them in the locker room.
Yeah.
Easy solution. Just keep them in the locker room.
I'm weary from it. All right, give us our last item.
Well, last one, normally this would be like a headliner, but this is the least controversial this week. Ezekiel Elliott is going to be on he has to serve his 6-week suspension now. Remember, we talked about this previously. There was a fight between two courts. Elliott had appealed his suspension down in federal court in Texas,
yep,
thinking he'd get a favorable hometown judge. The NFL had filed in New York to uphold the suspension, going after the favorable ruling they had previously when they got Tom Brady's suspension upheld. And there had been an injunction put in place against the suspension, against the punishment taking effect from the Texas court. That was now lifted, and so it's going back to New York, and that's why Elliott is serving his 6-week suspension.
Well, I mean, he took a shot, didn't work out for him. Oh well.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't put yourself in positions where you are, you're assaulting someone.
Yeah, keep your hands off your girlfriends, your spouses, and you don't have to deal with these issues with the NFL.
You know, and there is no doubt. Now, I've not seen the percentages. Perhaps you have. Is there, based on the number of players in the NFL, a higher incidence of assault or domestic assault than there is in the general population?
That I don't know. I'd have to check and look.
Because my guess is it might be similar to that.
You're probably right.
You know, it's mirroring society, sadly. But I also feel, though, that some of these players are so used to being told or having yes people around them and getting what they want, mm-hmm. that for one of the first times, if not the first time, the women in their lives, which have played an important part of their lives, they're being told no. They're getting pushback. Because, I mean, you're married, I'm married, yep. You get pushback.
Yeah.
You know, everything is, no woman is going to, I mean, I fell off a pedestal if I ever was on one about, 30 seconds after I met Mary. So
Jennifer has the best BS meter on the planet. And you know, in any normal relationship, any normal marriage, your spouse has to be able to be truthful with you and sometimes brutally truthful with you. And this is, you're clashing into an environment where these guys have been kind of coddled since they were 14 years old.
Yes. And I do believe that some of them, they can't stand someone standing up to them. And maybe I'm off on that, but I don't think so. Cause I've seen and written about enough issues related to domestic violence and assault with athletes that I am convinced that there's something to that, that they're being told, you know, they're getting argued with and being told no when all their lives, like you said, they've been coddled and given everything they could possibly want.
And you get into, we've talked about this before, about the concussion stuff and the CTE. We don't know yet how much of that plays into this too. It's not, but you know, we don't want to overgeneralize. This is still a minority of players in the league. There are a lot of guys out there, including
absolutely.
You know, our hometown team here, the Vikings, they're great guys. And nope, they haven't been getting in trouble with this stuff. This is just a very high profile case involving a high profile player. But it is a little bit disappointing that the Players Association, time and again, that their response is to challenge this penalty versus, you know, having these guys be accountable for their actions. I mean, that's the bottom line. You have to be accountable for your actions, no matter what they are.
If I were, and he wouldn't, if I were, but it would be, I probably wouldn't do it either. So let me change it. If I were, it would be interesting to see the reaction if Roger Goodell took a knee, not during an anthem, and said, I'm taking a knee for all the women and children who've been battered by NFL players.
Yeah.
And see how that would go over, how they would react to that.
Yeah, it would be a huge uproar.
Now, I just want to touch on the three and out. We've hit the three, but I want to hit on a few other quick things. If you looked at the Packers' schedule, they were going to sail to like a 13-3 or 12-4 record. They had an easy schedule. Now, I don't think they'll hit .500.
Right.
Where do you think they'll wind up coming? I mean, they're not a factor anymore in the division.
No, but the division isn't the best anyways. I mean, you saw Detroit get, lose.
I thought
yesterday.
Detroit was going to be a good team.
I thought when Rodgers went down, you said my first instinct was, well, it's Detroit's division to lose. And then they go lose to New Orleans. The Bears aren't good. The Vikings, I mean, the Vikings are banged up too. I mean,
every team is banged up.
Whatever team has the least amount of injuries at the end of the season is going to win that division. And you've got the
That would be Detroit because they haven't had the injuries that the Vikings
have. I still think it's Detroit's division to lose. I mean, when the Vikings can only manage to beat Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers and without two starting offensive linemen and two starting cornerbacks by 13 points. There's still issues there. I mean, the Vikings are banged up too. We're hearing that Bradford may not play again. Now they're talking about Bridgewater coming back, but I don't think that they're going to switch switch captains as long as Keenum's winning games.
I think it's Keenum's team as long as he's healthy. I do think here's some things that I do. I think I believe that Zimmer and Pat Shurmur got very conservative in that game because they had a lead. They knew there was no knew there was no Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think they were concerned about a rally that would beat them. When they got the lead, I think they played more of a protection mode than they did of being more wide open. I also think the good to come out of it, Jerick McKinnon was not or did not look like the runner he looks like these last couple of weeks.
No.
And I believe it has to do with that offensive line.
Yeah.
There was a line he ran through that, you know, you hear you could drive a Mack truck through it. You could have driven three or four side by side. Yeah. It was enormous.
Well, the Vikings are, you know, they're built like the old school Vikings where they gritted out on defense. You saw yesterday with you know, interceptions and turnovers that's Viking football. You know, it was only during the Denny Green era that they started having this emphasis on the offensive side of the ball as much. So, you know, it's what they need is what they have in Keenum is a veteran guy that's going to make, you know, a few mistakes and control the game and move the team down the field and, you know, get points and you've got a defense that has the ability to make their own points when needed.
I also think that their receiving now Stephon Diggs did not play, but that catch Laquon Treadwell made with the one-handed catch was as good as any catch you'll see.
Yeah.
And if he suddenly – he could be pulling a Cordero Patterson because Patterson last year got good. I don't know what clicked for him, but it clicked well. He had a touchdown yesterday. He had three runs.
He's definitely improving. He still makes mistakes on the field yet when he did the smacking the – running that into the Packer defender. That was just a bonehead –
But he was blocking, though. I give him credit for that. He did make some blocks out on the field.
He
not
did.
Just that
he
one.
Did that one, but that one was, no, that was a mistake. But you know, he certainly improved over last year, which wasn't much. There wasn't much to improve upon. You know, you couldn't know where to go but up after last year.
Well, I'm intrigued by the possibilities with, you know, now that Rodgers is not going to be at Green Bay, what the Vikings could potentially do. And the loss of Rodgers, though, has a ripple effect around the league. I mean, suddenly they were a strong contender. Now you look in the NFC and Philadelphia, it seems like it's they're the best team in the NFC. But there's a lot to be played, and other teams will emerge, and some teams will drop.
There's just so much parity, Bob. I mean, yesterday you thought Kansas City looked good, and then they lose to Pittsburgh, who lost to Chicago.
Which is the oddest team. That team last week, that Pittsburgh team, they looked like they were done. Roethlisberger, you know, whether he was joking or not, well, maybe maybe I've lost it. Well, they decided let's run the ball with Le'Veon Bell, and that's their formula.
You know, my 12-year-old niece does football picks as part of like an extra credit school project.
And they give credit for that?
Well, it's like just a fun thing, and I help her out, and it's hard to predict every week. You think you've got it down. Okay, this team, they're surging ahead, and the next week they're losing.
Well, and I want to say one last thing about Rodgers because thanks a lot, by the way, by pointing it out. My daughter, who's broken both collarbones, first her left, then her right. I got to make sure I get this order right. Maybe it was her right, then her left. Whatever it was, she pointed out it's after 6 months, it's still not right, and it's on his throwing arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's not coming back this year. He did come back in 2013 when he broke his left non-throwing collarbone.
Right.
He did come back for the final game, had a good game, but he's not coming back this year because they're not going to be in it. He came back because he helped them win the division. Mm-hmm. Not coming back this year to any, you know, Packer fans that are hoping that will happen. It would be a mistake for him to come
back. Right. Well, maybe they just need to gas up the plane and head down to Hattiesburg.
He's not that old. The guy's probably kept himself in shape. He'd be better than Kaepernick or a lot of other options.
Probably.
We're talking about Brett Favre, of course. You know what? He throws a few Wranglers in the suitcase and comes on a couple of T-shirts, and he's on his way. All right, Jeff, thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break and be right back.